I'm going somewhere, like I'm going to a networking event, and then like I show up and I'm just drenched, and they're like, "What are you doing?"
Because I scooted here, gang. Yeah, save the environment.
I know. I'll get better. Someone, I need an accountability buddy.
Accountability buddy.
Yeah, I can be that.
That's hard.
Yeah. All right.
That's fire.
I will text you and remind you to put your helmet on.
All right. Thank you. I broke my wrist because I fell off of it.
So you know, like you fully know.
Yeah, I fully know to save my head. I need to brace my fall by breaking my wrist.
Yo, oh my goodness.
That is horrible.
What is in your life's blueprint?
Welcome back to the We Love Philly podcast. Today is a special episode because we have co-host Carlos Aponte, the executive director of We Love Philly, my guy, my main guy, and he's not alone.
My name is Casey Shahai. I work as a GPLEX program associate for the Economy League of Greater Philadelphia.
So what's G, like what GFLEX or GPLEX?
GPLEX.
What does
GPLEX
that mean?
Is cool though.
I know, I was going to say.
It's a cool name.
It is a cool name. I feel like you're like a breakdancing group.
GPLEX stands for Greater Philadelphia Leadership Exchange. Yeah, and it's mainly a once a year out of state conference. It used to be 1 year in Philly, 1 year out of Philly. It's hosted by the organization that I work for, the Economy League. And GPLEX's mission is to basically convene Philadelphia's leaders, people who are change makers, people who are moving the needle forward in a positive direction, convening all of them in a different city every year to learn about what that city is doing effectively, the kind of problems that city is working to tackle, and all with a lens of equitable growth. That's the Economy League's main mission. We go to a different city, we learn what they're doing, we meet the people who are doing the work, and all around fostering networking amongst the group. So that way people can meet like-minded people, can meet people who have similar interests in fostering change in Philly, in our city, kind of taking those lessons back, taking those connections back, and creating a positive change in the city and trying to tackle the huge systemic issues that we have.
So anyone can be on one of these conferences?
Yeah, it's a selective process. We have an application system, but it's really somebody who demonstrates that in the work that they do, they're trying to make a change in some way. And yeah, people who are looking to learn more, we call them leaders, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be somebody who's like CEO of a company. We have a lot of people who work in nonprofits. We had a lot of people who are community organizers. So leaders across a big range. Yeah.
Got
big
it. Spectrum. So what was the best trade? You said leadership exchange. So have you done two leaders for one leader and then they move? How's that work?
No. So the exchange aspect is not a physical exchange of leaving people in this city's best. It's more so just an exchange of ideas. Yeah. Exchange of ideas, an exchange of lessons. What that city has done in the education sector, what that city has done in philanthropy, how can those lessons come to Philly, and make a positive impact here.
Mm-hmm. So what cities have you've gone to, you personally?
Me personally. So I started at the Economy League working for GPLEX last year, right after graduating college.
Hey, let's go.
Oh.
Yeah, graduated Drexel. I started the next Monday. I had no break in between, but that's okay. And I went to Detroit. Yeah, that was the 2022 conference was in Detroit. And that was really interesting because I didn't really know much about Detroit before going.
Yeah.
I knew that there was a bankruptcy. I feel like that's pretty much what a lot of people know. But there's a lot of really good things happening in Detroit. So that was a really positive experience to meet people who were so resilient. And I know resilient is a term that is used around a lot. It's like, you're resilient when you have to be resilient. It's not necessarily like a praise, but they're really like, they're people who have gone through a lot and stuck around the city because they genuinely feel like connection to that city and roots, which is very similar, I think, to Philly in a way.
Yeah.
If you're sticking around here, it's because you love it here and you want to see it become something that it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, 100%.
Dope. So besides Detroit, where were they before you came along?
One that I always hear about is Seattle. People love Seattle. People always come to me and are like, how do we recreate Seattle? So that was a good experience for a lot of people. LA, most of the major like metropolitan cities in the U.S. so far. That's why we did like a GPLEX mini trial. Carlos went to that this year, where like you can't really hit the cities that are super close to Philly because nobody feels like it's worth it to pack up and drop their life for 3 days to go to a city like D.C. Or it's a big production, so it's hard to do the cities that are like the sister cities of Philly, the closest ones. So we did one where we went to Brooklyn just for overnight.
Yeah. So we were like it was exploring dope. That. Yeah, I was on that trip. I was there. Our director of development, Chris Davis, he went as well. And no, you did an amazing job. We met in Old City. We got a bus. The bus ride was dope. The cool thing about GPLEX is that everyone you're going with is a mover and shaker in Philly. So I have the only other experience I have to compare to GPLEX is I've done Breakout before. Shout out to the Breakout fam. Yeah. We did Breakout last year in Pittsburgh, and it was everyone from around the country coming to Pittsburgh to meet the people on the ground to see how Pittsburgh is doing what Pittsburgh does. And it was cool doing GPLEX because everyone was from Philly going there. So you knew that you were going to make meaningful connections that were going to continue to move forward because of the proximity that you're all in the same city together going to this place to explore Brooklyn. And yeah, going to Brooklyn, we went to the Navy Yard, which was really dope to see how they transformed this space to provide education, to provide careers, to provide even environmental impact on Brooklyn. They have a very similar program to We Love Philly that just encompasses the Navy Yard, where they have a school there and they train their young people to eventually have careers at the Navy Yard in 4 or 5 different tracks. If you want to get involved in environmental, you can go and do this. If you want to own a store, you can go and do this. If you want to work inside of the Navy Yard manufacturing, you do this, and you get to choose, and then you get placed in a full-time career at the Navy Yard, which was, I thought was really dope.
Very similar to what you guys do.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, no, GPLEX was really cool. I was able to meet a lot of people. I've already followed up with some, already had meetings with some, and I'm looking forward to what is going to grow out of that. So yeah, kudos to you. Thank you. You did an amazing job.
Thank you. I feel like I black out a little bit. So when people talk to me and ask me those questions, I'm like, do you notice that I don't have light in my eyes right now?
Yeah.
Like I'm just on go mode. I'm like a robot.
So what have you been learning from the events? Do you give yourself intentional time to reflect and go, wow, this is what I learned?
Yeah, I do. And I think the learning mostly from me comes from engaging with the people that come to the events. The people I get to meet, I feel, are truly like the best part of my job. Whether they're participants, whether they're like people in the city who I'm meeting. Like when we went to New Orleans, I got to meet Leona Tate, who like desegregated the New Orleans schools as a really small child and all throughout her life worked in that world. And that was amazing. I got to sit there and talk with her as she like held her grandbaby after just watching a video of her as a 6-year-old child going through like the most traumatic thing you could possibly do for the greater good of a nation, which is just so hard to wrap your mind around. So yeah, my learning mostly comes from the people I get to interact with. I meet so many incredibly inspiring people who like, and I've been in this city pretty much all my life, and being in a city like Philly that has a lot of challenges, it can get really disheartening and you can feel like, what's the point of anything? Yeah. How do we move forward? But like having this job has totally changed my perspective of the good people are here in the city and they're really fighting the fight and like they're not getting discouraged every day doing this incredibly hard work. So yeah, it's just like an attitude shift for me more than anything.
Yeah. Full circle, shout out Leona Tate. The ultimate boss move, desegregated that school and then bought the school that she desegregated.
It's insane. Yeah.
But I've been to a couple of networking events and I think that's the best part about it. I usually take a lot of information and get a lot of perspectives that I never really thought about before. But listening to what this is, it's very intriguing because it's the fact of a bunch of like-minded people from Philadelphia going to somewhere else together, and then you can make those connections and then bring that information back with you. So you being the first time guest.
Yeah. What was that last week? Was it 2 weeks ago already?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
From your experience, what do you think was the best part or the most engaging part for you?
For me, and this isn't going to be for everyone, this is just the inner teacher in me, but bringing Chris, right, and watching Chris be able to develop what his elevator pitch for Wheel of Philly is, and watch him like rep and advocate for what we do in Wheel of Philly, and just standing next to him and watching that was the best part for me.
He did really well.
Yeah, because we went maybe a month ago, before GPLEX Brooklyn, we went to New Orleans for a new school venture fund to be professionally developed. And watching him like fumble and he's, I don't have it down yet, and et cetera. And then watching how much he's grown in just a month to be able to start to do the networking, you know, that was really cool. Besides that, the other best part was we got to go to they had a Reading Terminal Market of sorts, but it was ran by people who are of Caribbean descent and from the islands. So they had their own storefronts, they had indoor storefronts, restaurants, and that was really dope to just talk, connect, and see what they are building and how they are moving together as one to build this sort of indoor market, which I feel like it really lacks here in Philly. I know I was speaking with Kenyatta, who Kenyatta's role is what? He runs Page?
Yeah, Philadelphia Anchors for Growth and Equity.
Yeah, and that's part of the Economy League. Right. Yeah. I want to pin that because I want to get into what the Economy League is. Yeah. But speaking to him and having the conversation of there are groups who, a lot of immigrant groups who come to our country, come to the United States, and they come with that communal attitude of, hey, we're going to set up this business association. We're all going to communicate with one another, and we're going to send our people out to ensure that they are running a sort of kind of business that isn't in competition with the other person in our group. And then we can have these stakeholders in different cities around the country. Yeah. And being that organized to communicate that to where we're all looking out for one another, and how do we mimic that in Philly and going to that Caribbean indoor market? That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and that was dope. And they had a bunch of vegan options.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, did you actually get any food from there? Like they had vegan options.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name of her stand, but it was delicious. What was the name of the market in Brooklyn?
It was Flatbush Central.
Yes.
Or Central.
Central Flatbush Market. Yeah, yeah.
Did you get to eat at the Filipino restaurant? Checked in and then I thought, did Carlos even eat there?
No worries. So yeah, I sat down and all the appetizers came out and there was nothing I could eat. So I walked back and I talked to the chef and I was like, hey, like I don't eat meat. I don't eat dairy. Do you have an entree like that you could come out and bring out? He said, yeah, I got fish coming out soon. And I'm like, nah. No, the same thing happens anytime I'm in Puerto Rico.
Going back to what you were saying to put a pin in, the organization you work for is underneath a bigger organization?
Yeah, so I work for a program called GPLEX.
Okay.
Yeah, and that program comes out of an organization called the Economy League.
Yeah.
And the Economy League is a think and do tank that has been operating in Philly for over a century. GPLEX has been around for about 15 years, but the Economy League has been around for over a century, and their whole mission is to steer equitable growth in the area. So not just economic growth, but economic growth that encompasses marginalized communities and really helps them with a lens of focusing on those communities. And it started off mostly being like a think tank is primarily research. So for a long time, that's what was coming out of the Economy League. And it's really changed shape in the last decade, where it's a lot of like outward facing programs that interact more with Philly and its communities. So yeah, we have a program called PAGE, Philadelphia Anchors for Growth and Equity, that partners with all of the anchors in Philly, like CHOP, Penn, Drexel, Temple.
What's an anchor?
An anchor is an institution in Philly that is in like the eds and meds field.
Is that correct?
Oh, I have no idea. I was like, what boat are they driving?
Yeah, an anchor is, they're like the institutions that are like bringing in a lot of money and also spending a lot of money in the city. Yeah. So like I said, CHOP, Temple, any hospital and any university really. And Paige partners with them and helps them build relationships with minority business owners. And so those minority businesses can be the vendors for these anchors and these institutions. And so when these anchors are spending money and they spend a lot of money on products, food, anything, they're not spending that money and giving it away to a company in New York or something like that. I know like the school district outsources a lot of like the food they get, or they did for a long time, which is just so crazy because that money could be going back into Philly, but
exactly,
it's a different story. But yeah, partners with those.
Surprised that our school district
so shocking.
They don't care.
They don't care about anything, but it's a different story. But yeah, so we have Paige. They partner with anchors, like I said, to have them buy for minority business owners, and then also have this thing called a hurdle fund. So if a minority business owner feels like they can't meet the demand of a specific order for an anchor, the hurdle fund does things like give them money in order to increase their refrigeration capacity. So then they can go and make 2,000 pies for Penn. That was a story I heard at our board meeting yesterday that actually happened to one of the vendors. They made, I think it was like close to 3,000 pies for UPenn for Thanksgiving. And like that wouldn't have been possible without that money and that support from Paige.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have other programs. We still do research. GPLEX is my program, obviously, with Kirsten, my supervisor. And then we have the Well City Challenge, which is a health equity competition. People who have ideas on how to improve Philly can get funding through participating in a pitch competition, an accelerator program, and at the end they have a $50,000 grant to make their idea become an actual reality.
How did you get connected with GPLEX?
Yeah, so I was at Drexel. I studied communication and politics. I was a double major. And I was a good student, but I wasn't very involved in the Drexel scene. And I hear this a lot from my friends who also like grew up in the city and then went to a university in the city. There's this feels like a big disconnect, but I hung out with my friends that I knew from like high school and like from the city, and I couldn't relate to the kids who were like experiencing city life for the first time and were so shocked by like poverty and all these things that were just like so familiar to me. But I was a good student, and I feel like I made an impression on my professors for whatever reason. And my professor, who was, he's the head of the Department of Politics, his name's Richardson Dilworth.
Shout out to Richard.
Yeah, so I became his research assistant at one point for work study, and he, as I was about to graduate, was like, listen, like, you should start job searching. I can help you in any capacity you need. I'm like very connected to a lot of different organizations in the city. And he sent me an application Kirsten had put out for a GPLEX fellowship. So I started off as a fellow. So I worked part-time, and I started in the summer and planned the conference up until the fall. And that's when my fellowship ended. And then it felt like the Economy League and GPLEX was a really good fit for me. So I stuck around and I became a full-time employee. Yeah.
Dope. That kind of sounds like me and that man.
Yeah.
This man.
Yeah.
How did you get started?
I was in class one day and my teacher wasn't there. I had a substitute. Happened to be this guy. He jumped on my table. Yeah. No, he was a dope sub. He was he was a breath of fresh air.
He jumped on the table.
He did.
Was that what you like always did to warm up the
scene? Yeah, on the first day. Just to let them know that they're not going to out-energy me.
That is such a Leo thing, too.
Yeah,
wow.
It was lit, yeah. Everyone else was like, bro, this dude drawling. This class is a burnout.
But you were into it.
Nah, I was hooked. I signed up, started meditating, which is, learned a lot of skills. And
that's awesome. Carlos introduced you to
me. Yeah, honestly, most of the things I do currently, Carlos influenced me somehow. I'm like a completely different person now.
What are some of your like self-love techniques?
Oh, that's such a good question. I love music. So I have like my noise-canceling headphones. Second I'm like upset, I'm like, I need to go be alone and I need to put my headphones on and pretend like I'm somebody I'm not.
Yeah, I feel you.
Pretend like I'm in a music video or something. Mm-hmm. I also meditate, though. I do yoga, but it's more of like a body thing than anything, but it also makes you feel good mentally and spiritually. I go for long walks, a lot of long walks. I live in West Philly, so I like take a route like through the art museum and then like walk by the river, and like that is, yeah, that's like my go-to a lot of the time.
Still.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier before we started that you were born in Albania. Mm-hmm. So have you been back?
Yeah, I haven't been in 5 years. It's been a moment, yeah.
What comes up within you when you do go there?
Oh, that's such a good question. This is a feeling that I've been like struggling with a lot, because I get to a point where if I've gone so long without going, I had a period of time, I think when I was in like middle school to high school, where I went 8 years without going. Then I hadn't seen my grandmother in 8 years. I hadn't seen most of my family in 8 years. And I hadn't seen my home. It feels like home for the most part. And so like I generally just feel like this weird disconnect from a part of myself that is like such a big part of me, but also something that like is so hard to translate in my day-to-day interactions with people here. Like people meet me and like they see such an Americanized version of me, and I am that way, but I'm also an Albanian person, and I also love the beaches over there and love the food over there and love the culture, the music, everything. And those are like things that I can't really connect with day-to-day here. So like going long stretches of time, it really feels like I'm like really detached from a part of myself, and it like gets to a point where it becomes so uncomfortable. And then going back feels like feeling like a whole person again, and feeling like in touch with myself again. And not getting to see your family for a long time is also like something that a lot of my peers don't understand. It's bittersweet too, because then it feels like you're reintroducing yourself to them every time you see them again, and you remember me as this 17-year-old, and now I'm like a completely new person, and I have to fill you in on all these major gaps that you've missed in my life while also trying to like have day-to-day interactions with you and have small talk with you, and you're my family, so there's like this deep love and this deep bond, but we are also so disconnected from each other at the same time. So it's a lot of complex feelings all at once.
And you learn so much when you go and come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And I come back like a whole new person, I swear to God.
I feel like that once we all are millionaires and make it, right? Like that's the next evolution of a G-plex, but countrywide, right? Mm. It's like, how do we take people back to the homes of their ancestors to experience what is life like there, connect with the culture, connect with humility to realize how good you have it in the United States. I know we experienced that when I took 11 students to Puerto Rico last summer, and going there and spending the time there, connecting with their culture, connecting with people on the ground, and then really realizing, even though we like grew up in poverty in Philly, like that is not poverty
in Puerto
Rico. Yeah, it's a different poverty than poverty on the island, right? And I feel like that level of humility is such a great lesson to learn when you travel internationally. I wish there was some sort of like program where people can do that, and or go to the places where they're manufacturing all of our products, or go to the places where,
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely do that.
Yeah. And then, learn and come back and then just have a whole new outlook on, wow, we are truly blessed. What are we going to do with this opportunity instead of complaining? So you have another G-plex coming up on July 6th, and we actually get to tour at One Art Community Center. Can you tell us about what that event is?
Yeah, so G-plex encompasses the big conference once a year at a state conference, but then Kirsten, when she started as the G-plex program director, my boss, she created this thing called G-plex 360, because going back a little bit, G-plex used to be 1 year in Philly, 1 year in a different city in America, and then at some point everybody realized, like, people are most focused when they're not in Philly. If you're in Philly and you're doing a three-day conference, you're answering emails, you're going back to the office, you're going to go check on your kid, all of these things make sense. But, like, when you're in a different city, you can really, like, hone in on the experience and really disconnect yourself from your work life and be there fully and present. So now it's purely different city every year, but we didn't want to lose that aspect of showcasing what's going on in Philly, because this is the city people are living in, and these are like the connections people are continuing throughout the year. Like Carlos said, Kirsten started G-plex 360, which is year-long programming. It's about 8 events per year where we go to a different organization. We meet a different person doing good work in Philly. So yeah, July 6th, we'll be going to We Love Philly. We're going to be going to the One Art Community Center. We're going to be doing a tour of that space, learning from the people who created the space and their motivations behind that. And then we're going to go to Localhost. Have you guys heard of Localhost? Localhost is like an esports arena that's in Philly. It's by Nerd Street Gaming.
I actually walked past it.
Yeah,
I seen that recently.
Yeah,
I
was, and were you like, what is this?
Yeah,
thing?
I literally called. I called Jay up. I was like, yo,
what is this?
You should see what's next to me, right?
Because it's awesome.
Yeah,
like, it's full of PCs, full of consoles, has a stage. And that was another thing. Like, a lot of people don't know about One Art Community Center.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that Localhost is there either. And the motivation behind the event and kind of the theme is like alternative education opportunities that are in Philly. What you guys are doing at We Love Philly is amazing. Localhost partners with like different schools, different summer camps, and gives kids the opportunity. And they're open after school hours too, but like over this summer, they partner with summer camps and stuff so kids can come in. They can even train in different leagues. And gaming is such a lucrative industry right now. And I feel like a lot of older people have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
They still see it as like this thing that like, oh, you're never gonna make it kind of thing, or this isn't a real job kind of mentality. But if you make it, you're making a lot of money and you're setting yourself up for a great future. So yeah, we wanna expose people to things that they don't normally think about in their day-to-day professional world. So yeah, two tours and then following it up with a panel conversation on the stage at Localhost. Carlos will be there.
Shout out Carlos.
The other organizations that will be there will be Kensington Soccer Club, Fab Youth Philly, and the Village of Arts and Humanities. These are all organizations who are creating safe spaces for young people in Philly, who are fostering relationships with young people, who are, giving them educational opportunities outside of the traditional classroom.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. It's like everything you're doing is just like putting the right people in the right places.
Right. Yeah. Education is also one of those things that like affects every single part of the city, and every issue that we have can be tied back to the way we treat our young people.
100%.
And the way we foster youth in the city. Mm. And when we don't do it correctly, we see the ramifications of it down the line. I went to Philly Public Schools all of my life, and I was there in 2012 when the budget cuts were happening and all those schools were getting closed down. And all those teachers were being laid off. They didn't have counselors in my school. And it was really difficult to navigate as a young person. And thank God for the teachers in my life who like really made an impact, because I could have totally seen myself going down a route where I wouldn't be here today. You know what I mean? And like I said, we can see the ramifications of those schools closing, and we see the ramifications of not taking care of our buildings and having asbestos in there.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
Yeah, all of these things come back to bite us in the long run, and we're definitely feeling those ripple effects now.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And it's crazy how you don't understand like when you're in the school, because I remember when the asbestos thing was happening.
Yeah.
And but like my school, we had pizza. Like they had ordered pizza because our kitchen wasn't like able to, you know what I mean? Come to find out next day school closed, this and the third, you know what I mean?
You had no idea, young person, that like your just life is literally being at risk in my school building. Like what a crazy thing.
That, for real, it's crazy.
And, yeah. And then they give you Domino's 5x5. And it's like, pizza, dog.
Are we hating on Domino's in a pinch?
No, Little Caesars. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Little Caesars. The half.
So where? I'm looking forward to the event. I've never been a part of a panel discussion, so this will be my first.
Barbios said the same. Barbios is the executive director of Kensington Soccer Club, and she was like, "This is my first time speaking at a panel." I was like, "Oh my god, I'm so glad that like I can make that happen for you."
Yeah.
And like I said, expose our group and like our network to people who are doing incredible things in the city, and hopefully, like these organizations, potentially get new board members this way, get people who want to volunteer for the organization this way, people who like want to come in and be those people mentoring young people, or like you decide that your company wants to donate to this organization in some capacity, things like that. Those connections are really nice to see.
Or do a bicycle ride from Philly to Harrisburg.
Or do a bicycle ride. Tell us about that, Carlos.
Huh?
Tell us about that.
Tell jealous about that. We are doing a bicycle ride from Philadelphia to Harrisburg to raise money. As you talked about the alternative pathways in education, one of those alternative pathways were passed down through Act 158 this past school year. And We Love Philly is specializing in providing services to help schools meet their Act 158 needs. One of the ways we're doing that is having pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship programs where we meet people where they are in high school. They do a pre-apprenticeship program, they earn an hourly wage, they get an industry recognized credential, and then they have a pathway to an apprenticeship program once they graduate high school where they can earn a legitimate living wage coming out of high school, not go and work at Walmart. Right. So the bicycle ride is to raise $158,000, which is why we're riding 158 miles because of Act 158. Yeah, we did it right.
158.
But the intention is to raise all of this money so we can pay wages for our young people who are in this pre-apprenticeship program. Yeah. That's so amazing. Yeah, we're doing all that. We're going to meet other nonprofits all across the state while we do this bicycle ride. We're going to run workshops for them to teach them how they can pivot for Act 158. We're going to volunteer for them. And yeah, we're going to do it in the dead middle of summer. And that's going to be great. It's going to be great.
And Chris is doing it with you, right?
Yeah, Chris is doing it. So I've been, last week I did Philly to Phoenixville just to do it.
Just because?
That's one of the legs. So it's 4 days. First day, Philly to Phoenixville. Second day, Phoenixville to Reading. Okay. Third day, Reading to Lebanon. Fourth day, Lebanon to Harrisburg. So I want to do all the legs to make sure it's all good. And the people who sign up are like, we'll create content along the way. So it's like, hey, look, there's deer and bunnies and this is great. You won't die. Like, we're in the shade. You don't have to worry. So where's GPLEX this year? Did you already do it? You said last year was Detroit. What's this year?
So GPLEX is happening September 30th to October 3rd in New Orleans.
Ooh.
Which is so exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the best parts of my job is that I get to travel, and we had scouting trips. So we went to Houston and New Orleans. Kirsten went to Savannah. We were thinking of doing medium-sized city in the South. And yeah, New Orleans out of those three was really the best option.
No, New Orleans, we were just there recently. Shout out to the purple shoes I'm wearing. They were a big hit in New Orleans.
I
love New Orleans. In mainland United States, it is the best place I've ever been. It's the most unique. It has the most culture, the best food, the weather's amazing, the people are nice, and yeah, it feels like a city where everyone, and it could be post Katrina, where it feels like everyone is like united and they look out for one another. So it's, yeah, I love being there.
Yeah, really good vibes in New
Orleans. So what, give us a sneak preview, what do you have on the agenda for New Orleans for the people from Philly who go and sign up?
So for New Orleans, there's a lot of things to learn about in New Orleans. There's a lot of things that they're trying, especially like Carlos said, in a post-Katrina world for them. There's like a lot of trial and error for them in like really fostering and bringing up the city from such a huge disaster. In terms of like panel conversations, we wanted to do fewer panels this year because that's a lot of the feedback that we got from Detroit, was like people are really here to mix and mingle and really do hands-on learning apart from like sitting down and like listening to talking heads on the stage. And like, panels are good in a lot of ways, but also it depends on what the conversation is. But so our panels will be centering around topics like community violence and building a resilient public, and like what resiliency means in a city like New Orleans that faces a lot of natural disasters. And then we do regional explorations, which is basically we split up our large group. Our large group is about 200 people who are attending the conference, split them up into about groups of 40 and 50. And they go out into the city and see sites that are sites that you have to see to believe. Or we go and meet different people. Like, we are going to go to the Leona Tate Foundation and learn about the history of education in New Orleans and talk about how New Orleans is really unique in a way because it's become an all charter school system, which is interesting to talk about, especially comparing it to Philly and where we are in terms of education and how we are at this breaking point of what do we do, where do we go from here. A lot of people are looking at charters as the solution. Yeah, and New Orleans is like a great case study for those kinds of conversations. You can't go to New Orleans without talking about things like environmental justice. So we'll be visiting the Community Lighthouse Project. A big issue in New Orleans is not only the storms that come and flood the city and stuff like that, but it's like the aftermath of the storms is a huge problem. They have a really big issue with their power grid system. So a storm can come in and wipe your power out, and you can be out of power for a month, which is so crazy to think about. I didn't know that kind of stuff happened in the United States. I thought that stuff only happened in Albania, but it's here too.
Yeah.
Community Lighthouse Project is a group of churches in New Orleans who have come together and created these safe houses for when a storm happens and people are out of power. People have medical equipment that they need to plug in, things that like you and I might not think about. People sometimes need ventilators, but if you have no power, how are you supposed to plug in equipment like that? So these churches provide electricity for people to charge up their phones, connect with their family members, also like designated sites for people to bring in food when necessary and water and things like that. So trying to get like the organization around New Orleans to, because these storms are inevitable in a climate like that. So you need the kind of infrastructure and the organization and the people power to combat the issues that come as aftershocks to storms like that. So yeah, we'll be doing an environmental justice conversation there, touring the Lower Ninth Ward to talk about housing and how the environment impacts housing and housing stock in the area. Yeah, those are just some of the arts and culture. Obviously, you got to talk about jazz music and the art scene in New Orleans. Yeah. What sets GPLEX apart from like other conferences and other like networking opportunities is the fact that people feel comfortable enough. And I don't know if that's like because of the way Kirsten and I run the program. I don't know if that's because of our network. I think it's like a beautiful mix of all of those things. But people come in and come in as their full selves, which is something that I think is really unique. People don't come in. As a young person, I've always felt pretty uncomfortable going to networking spaces because I always have felt like I needed to put on a mask in some capacity.
Yeah.
And that's just life. We all wear our masks in different rooms and different settings, but I always felt really uncomfortable of, can I be myself? Can I like go up to somebody and have a conversation that I really want to have? And in most spaces, it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel the most welcoming. But Kirsten and I have tried to be really intentional about the kind of vibe we bring, the kind of attitudes we bring ourselves of, this is a place where you can come as your full self. You don't need to leave your personal self at the door. And I think that's when the best conversations and the most connection happens, is when you are like bridging the gap between your personal self and your professional self.
Yeah.
And when those things come to the forefront, and that's when the most meaningful connections happen. And people have always come up to us and been like, oh my God, I didn't know what to expect, but I came here and I could be myself and I had the conversations I wanted to have and I met the people I wanted to meet. And these are like people I think will be sticking around in my life because of that reason. And yeah, I think that's what makes us unique. Yeah, I have no trouble going up to somebody in these settings and being like, what's your sign? It's so silly, but people feel like they can be silly, and I love that aspect of it.
I think that's what I tend to gravitate towards. I love feeling like at home, like I'm with like-minded people, people who are working towards something and just creating and just being themselves.
Right.
Because being genuine is like some of the best thing you can give someone, because you're getting like a piece of their personal, like, person, and you can take that back with you.
Exactly.
Well, let's get to our last two questions that we do on every single podcast.
Okay.
If you go back in time and tell your child version of yourself three different things, what would those three things be?
Oh, and why? That's such a good question. I try to think about little Casey like every day of my life, because it is, that's such a beautiful thing to look back at like your young self and be like, what did she need to hear?
Yeah.
I think the first thing I would tell myself is that I don't have to be everything for everybody all the time. I've always had so much pressure on myself as an immigrant kid. Like, you have so much pressure to like basically make all the sacrifices your parents have made worth it. And that's something that like really sticks in your brain and is a ton of pressure. If you talk to any of your immigrant friends, I'm sure they have the same feeling.
Yeah.
I've always thought that I had to be everything for my parents. I had to be everything for my friends. And it was always super draining and a lot of pressure on myself. And like, when I couldn't fulfill those needs, when I couldn't always show up as a great friend or show up as a great daughter, if I got a bad grade in school, like all of those things that felt like failures felt like monumental failures. Yeah. And like really took big hits on my self-esteem and my confidence. And I would just tell myself like, those expectations that people have of you are not really reflections of you and are separate from you. And they're reflections on those people more than anything. The second thing I would tell myself is to stop being so worried about boys. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even wear helmets.
They don't even wear helmets. And they're...
They pick their nose.
And they're generally... They were so much dumber than I was. I was such a smart little kid, but I was like always dumbing myself down for other people. And then the last thing I would tell myself is honestly to stop being so worried about being a good student all the time and be more worried about becoming a full person. Because I feel like and you don't notice this until you're older, like that half of the stuff you're learning in school is stuff that it has no application to your real life. Like I haven't thought about photosynthesis since. But yeah, like I would tell myself like, yeah, grades matter. And like I said, I'm an immigrant child, so I had a lot of expectations on myself when it came to schooling and grades and all that stuff. But I really wish I had spent more time like really honing in on my interests and my passions. I really loved acting as a kid. I wish I had seen that through more. I really loved writing and I loved drawing and all of these things that being so worried about getting an A+ on this test or in this class really took away from that and put so much pressure on me. I wish I had spent more time just like being a kid and having fun and like making mistakes and not being afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah. That's actually really beautiful. I liked all three of those.
Thank you.
Our next question is also deep. It is, what is your definition of love?
Wow. Oh my God. Okay. I think for me, love is being able to like take off all my masks, show myself as my full person, share like the most vulnerable parts of myself and have the person in a way have no reaction but just see me and embrace everything that I am.
Yeah.
And that's like for friends, for love interests, anything. It's about being able to like share your deepest secrets and not have the person be like, that's so crazy, oh my God, ew, but just take it for what it is and just accept you and embrace you and love you.
Do you know the word for love in Albanian?
This is a good question because it's a really interesting thing. And it's like something that like people at one point were like making little like silly like infographics about to be deep. But the word for love, there's no word for love. It's to do. Dua Lipa is in Albanian, and Dua, if you notice, is part of her name. Dua, to Dua means to want. Dua means to want. So when you tell somebody I love you, you don't say I love you, you say I want you. And that's in like every setting you say that to a friend, to somebody you like who's a love interest, to like family, you say to dua. And it's interesting because it means to want, which like is weird in a way.
It's understandable.
Yeah. If you don't think about it in like a sexual way, it's cute, it's beautiful.
Yeah, some people you can't live without.
Exactly. Yeah. I want you in my life. I choose to have you in my life every day.
Yeah.
How can people find the Economy League? How can they sign up for GPLEX? How can they get involved? Where do they find all of the things?
Yeah, so everything can be found on the Economy League website. We're actually transitioning to a new website very soon. It'll be a lot cleaner, a lot better to look at, a lot easier to navigate. But I'm pretty sure our website is just economyleague.org. Let me double check. I should know this. Yeah, it's just economyleague.org. And through there, you can click on like our programs and click on GPLEX. And that's where you can find the application. You can find our agenda for New Orleans. We have a pretty set agenda, so you can have a sneak peek into all of the things you'd be signing up for and the experience you'd be taking part in. You can find all of our events on there too. You can find the link to the Eventbrite for the July 6th event at One Art Community Center and Localhost. And you can learn about all of the different programs that I talked about, like Paige and the Well City Challenge, through our website too. And we're also on LinkedIn, all of the social channels really.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys.